This morning, I'm going to tell you what you know. Not to see whether you know it, but so you can check if you're living it. Amen? There's no point in knowing stuff if we don't apply what we know to our lives. Just turn to your neighbor and say, "You cannot counsel someone who's dead." But I suppose about 75% of the Christian church is doing just that. But we will not do it in kingdom faith.
Amen.
So we need to see what he has done, or to be reminded of what he's done. All of us began life weak, incapable. We had to be taught what to do as little kids. Many of us felt unaccepted, unacceptable. All of us, either to a greater or lesser degree, have experienced rejection. Many ways we feel inadequate. We long to be accepted. To know that we are loved, approved of, especially by God. And of course, the Lord, because he created us, understands all those things. But he took one look at sinful humanity and came up with the solid conclusion: totally useless, hopeless. There's only one thing that I can do with sinful humanity, and that's to kill the lot of them. And so he sent his son to do just that. That would have been a good place to say hallelujah, but everybody's wondering what's coming next. God realized there was nothing he could do to improve sinful humanity. There was nothing he could do to minister into all those feelings of insecurity, rejection, inadequacy, sense of failure. That the only answer was to start all over with a new creation. So he sent his son to do just that. There is an old creation, and there is a new creation. Now, the new creation that exists already is a prophetic forerunner of the new heaven and the new earth. That new creation has already begun in you. Look, don't get so excited. There's health warnings for getting overexcited. It's bad for your heart. So because God wanted you to be part of his new creation, he knew that he would first of all have to put you to death.
Yes.
That's it. Yeah.
He could not improve on the old model, so he was going to trade it in for a brand new model.
Come on.
He didn't send the person that you were in for a service. He sent it to the demolition yard. And said, we'll start with a brand new model.
Amen.
The problem for most Christians is they don't believe that he's done that. So they've got a new car in the garage and they're still driving the old one around, and it's done about 4,570,000 million miles. It's clapped out and useless.
Yeah. It's true.
Isn't it wonderful to know that the person that you were when you were born into the world no longer exists?
Amen.
So why are you giving that person any house room? Why live with a corpse? Let's look at some scripture together. Some of you are looking at me strangely. What are you saying? I'm saying that some of you are trying to improve what is dead.
That's right. Yep.
And you cannot improve what is dead.
That's right.
You can only consign it to the graveyard.
That's good. Come on.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
You have been called to live a new life as a new creation. Romans chapter 6. What shall we say then? Shall we go on sinning so that grace may increase, may abound more? No, never, he says. Very strong. Why? Because you see, the sinner that you were no longer exists. And the saint that you are has not been called to sin. Whatever God called you to do, he did not call you to sin. And he put the Holy Spirit in you so that you would not need to sin. Don't get too excited, remember. It's Tuesday morning. By no means, no, never, we died to sin. Say, I died to sin.
I died to sin.
See, the person that you were sinned by nature. But the person that you are cannot sin by nature. Can sin, but cannot sin by nature.
Amen.
Yes. Amen.
Because the person with the sinful nature died.
Amen.
Isn't that a relief?
Yes.
I mean, isn't that good news?
Yes. Amen.
Okay, let's read on. Or don't you know that all of us who were baptized into Christ Jesus, that is when you were baptized in water, were baptized into his death?
Yeah.
That act of baptism signified that you were made one with his death on the cross. Are you there? We were therefore buried with him. Now you'd always say amen because you know it's the truth, because there it's in the book. But you see, what needs to be happening now is you need to be processing this truth. I have been buried with Christ. What does that mean? He took you not only onto the cross, he took you into the tomb. Hello? And a stone was rolled over the entrance to the tomb to say, that's finito, finished, done, ended. What is going to emerge is a new, risen person.
Yes.
Hallelujah. Well, I'm going to have to do your part as well. Hallelujah, hallelujah. We were buried with him through baptism into death in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too may live a new life. Only a new creation can live a new life.
Amen. Come on.
So you are a new creation, lived a new life. Now, who knows that a new life is a new life? It's not the old life. It's not renewing the old life. It's not improving the old life. It's a new life. It's an entirely different kind of life. It's an entirely different level of life.
Amen.
Come on.
It's not the life you once lived. It's a brand new, completely different life altogether. So the person you were has been deaded. Turn to Galatians chapter 2. Paul's testimony. Always good to be reminded of the gospel. This is the gospel, not that you raise a hand and say, I give my life to Jesus. Right. The real gospel is what I'm telling you this morning. Christ not only took sinners to the cross, he took sinners to the cross. Isn't it good to know that the sinner you once were does not exist? God looks at you now and says, sinner, what sinner?
That's it. Amen.
I don't see a sinner, I see a saint.
Yes.
I don't see the old creation, I see the new creation. Well, I'm going to bless myself up here. You can sit there and do what you like. Verse 20, I have been crucified with Christ. Now, that's the historic tense, meaning that Paul recognizes he has gone through a process with Jesus. I have been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. Say, I no longer live. Now, I take it that the one who wrote this letter was actually breathing when he wrote it. I think it's a fair assumption. I mean, you know, there are some things that Scripture doesn't specifically state, but with a little bit of intelligence, you can infer that this was written by a living person. So when he meant, I no longer live, he didn't mean that he was writing from the grave. Hello? But he meant that the person that he was no longer lived. I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. The life I live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me. There's that aorist tense. Remember the difference. The aorist tense is a historic act at one moment in time of history, completely finished. He loved me and gave, there's that aorist tense again, gave himself for me. It's a done deal. Everything that he did, he loved me, he gave himself for me. That's why I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. Amen? I do not set the grace of God aside. See, this is the grace of God. Grace of God is not him smiling benignly at you because you sin. Say, oh, well, God will forgive me. That's not grace. The grace of God is demonstrated in what Christ has done. In what he has given you because of what he has done. Because of who you are, because of what he has given you, because of what he has done. Lord, you understand, don't you? And I understand. I don't know about this lot. They're just sort of sitting there like kippers this morning. I'm sure you can do something in them, Lord. Amen! You just excuse me. We have conversations like this every now and again. And he's got a sense of humor. He says, kippers, that's a good one. I like that. He's just saying it's a good analogy, Colin, because kippers are dead.
Yeah.
They're even smoked. Hallelujah.
Yeah.
I don't know if the Lord shares my hate of kippers. I was made to eat kippers when I was a boy. You can forgive your parents for all kinds of things, can't you? Hallelujah. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
I've died.
Yes.
Good job, too. Amen. Okay, let's go over to Colossians chapter 3. Since then, you have been raised with Christ. So you've been deaded, you've been buried, you've been finished off.
Praise God.
Thank you.
You've been entombed, and now you have been raised.
Yes. Amen. Come on.
Thank you, Father. Set your hearts on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on earthly things. For you died. There's that aorist active tense again. You died. It's finished. One historic act of all time, never ever to be repeated. You died.
Yep. Come on.
Isn't it wonderful? If you died, you don't have to die over again. You've just died. Hallelujah. You can look back on your death.
Amen.
You see, the world is looking forward to death. But we look back on death. Our death has happened. The world wonders what's going to happen when they die. We know what has happened because we're living in the new life because we have died.
Yes, yes, yes.
We are in the kingdom of heaven.
Come on.
And the kingdom of heaven is in us. This is the new creation we are living.
Yes, yes.
Some of you are looking at me as if to say, no, I haven't heard this in church before. Well, what church have you been going to? No, don't answer that. So, set your heart on things above, not on earthly things, for you died, and your life is now, say now, hidden with Christ in God. You see, where are you this morning? This morning, now, your life is hidden with Christ in God. But the sinner could not live in God. So the sinner had to be deaded. So that the new creation could come into being and live with Christ in God.
Amen. Yep.
It's called the gospel.
That's it. That's right.
You don't raise your hand for this. You praise God for it. Amen. When Christ, who is your life, say, Christ is my life.
Christ is my life.
You see, in the old life, Christ wasn't your life. But now Christ is your life. How, if somebody said, how would you describe your life? You'd say, Christ. What do you mean, Christ? Well, Christ is my life. I'm living in him. He's living in me. We are one. Christ is my life. People would look at you strangely.
That's true.
Because you're strange.
Yeah.
As far as the world is concerned. We are a peculiar people, the scripture says. And the trouble is that some saints are more peculiar than they're meant to be. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. So when he comes again, you will appear with him in glory. Hallelujah. Why? Because you're already part of the new creation.
Right. Yeah. That's it.
Go back to 2 Corinthians, chapter 5. So the inadequate, useless, rejected, unacceptable failure no longer exists.
Come on.
Oh, but Pastor, I still feel rejected and unacceptable. So weak, such a failure. And God says, that's because you don't believe what I've done. You believe your feelings, you don't believe what I've done. Believe what I've done and you won't feel like that. Oh, but I need counseling for all my rejection.
Yeah, right.
And God says, what rejection?
Yeah. That's true. That's it.
Amen.
Come on.
Amen.
Yeah.
All that rejection I suffered when I was a child. What child are you talking about?
Yeah. It's good.
You're not talking to me about the one that no longer exists, are you?
Come on.
Oh, but Lord, I've suffered rejection since I've been a Christian. Yes, but because you're a Christian, it didn't faze you, did it? Didn't hurt you, did it? You just overcame, didn't you? Because you're a new creation.
Yes. Come on.
How many more attendance registers are there around this place? I mean, I know I'm here. I've got the message. Make sure you put your new name on it, right?
Yeah.
Praise God.
Amen.
Verse 14, 2 Corinthians 5. For Christ's love compels us, because we are convinced that one died for all, therefore all died. There's that aorist tense again. Yeah. It's finished, finito, done.
Yes. Yes.
Never needs to be repeated.
Right, that's it.
Amen.
Come on.
Yes.
Yes, 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 yes. For, and he died, here is tense, for all, that those who live should no longer live for themselves, but for him who died for them and was raised again. Isn't it good to know this new creation isn't living for himself or herself?
Yes.
I mean, just look what a mess you got into when you were living for yourself. You got into such a mess that God said, I've got to dead you.
Yes.
So that you can be a new creation who no longer lives for himself.
Amen.
But for the one who deaded you and raised you to new life.
Right.
It's called the gospel.
Yeah. Amen.
So all those counseling books, make a nice fire. This is the counseling book you need.
Come on.
Hallelujah. For Christ's love compels us, because we are convinced, we are absolutely convinced, we know beyond any shadow of doubt that one died for all, therefore all died. And he died for all, that those who live should no longer live for themselves, but for him who died for them and was raised again. So you went into the tomb, and the one who emerged from the tomb was the one who will live for Christ.
Yes, yes, yes.
Yes.
And no longer for self.
Yeah.
Isn't it good that you no longer want what you want?
Yes, yes, yes.
Ah, you missed that one, didn't you? See, that's what it means. You no longer want what you want. You only want what he wants. Amen? It's called the new life. I want what he wants. And he's actually put his spirit in you to create in you the desire for what he wants. Well, I'm getting blessed by this. You can please yourself. Okay. So from now on, we regard no one from a worldly, from a natural point of view.
That's it. That's it.
Right.
We regard no one as the person that they were, but now we regard each other as we are. So the lazy person who always opted out of responsibility has died.
Yeah.
And the servant has been born.
Yeah.
The one who is like the master. Remember we saw that scripture? It is enough for the servant to be like the master.
Yeah. Yeah.
So the one that emerged from that tomb is like the master.
Yeah.
We are as he is in the world because we're part of his new creation. Listen, 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 listen. The scripture doesn't say this is what should be. It says this is what is. It doesn't say this is what we aspire to. The scripture says this is the situation. Though we once regarded Christ in this way, we do so no longer. Therefore, if anyone, say anyone.
Anyone.
Turn to your neighbor and say, that includes you.
That includes you.
If anyone is in Christ,
yep.
Come on.
He is the old model reformed. No. He is a new creation. The old has gone, dead, buried, left in the tomb. Hallelujah. The new has come. What a relief. I don't have to try to improve myself. Oh, wow. Thank you, Jesus. I was once preaching in Strange Ways Prison where some of the most notorious prisoners are housed up in Manchester. And you know, you're told when you go there, don't try to preach for more than 7 minutes because you've got 400 prisoners and the only reason why they're there in the chapel is it's an hour out of the cells. Yeah. On Sundays there's no work details or anything, so they're in the cells all day long apart from it's 1 hour if you want to go to chapel. So, you know that there are mixed motives for being there. So you're told, only 7 minutes. So on this particular occasion, I said, Lord, what do you want me to tell them? And, you know, the Lord just usually gives me the first line. So I said, really? I said, yeah, okay. So I stood up before them and said, I've got some good news for you. God does not want to reform you.
Yeah.
You could see sort of, eh? Pastors don't usually come along and say that. So God does not want to reform you. He wants you dead.
Nice one. Yeah, that's good. Yeah, that'll work.
Yeah, it did work.
That'll work.
50 came to the Lord that morning. And they were all followed up within 24 hours by the chaplaincy staff and all were born again.
That's it.
Really born again. Led to repentance and faith. Why? Because that's the gospel. Not Jesus loves you, prisoners. He wants you to know that although you're in prison, although you've been naughty boys, he really does love you. Yuck!
Absolutely.
He wants you dead. That's the good news.
Yes. Come on.
And then you can have a new life.
Excellent. That's good. Yeah, that's it.
It's called evangelism.
That's right.
Preaching the truth.
Yeah.
Not ask Jesus into your heart. Yuck. Who? Why should Jesus want to come into a filthy heart?
Absolutely. That's right.
But in a new creation, there's a new heart. And Christ can inhabit a new heart.
Yes. That's it.
You must excuse me for getting so excited, but you see, I believe this stuff.
Yes, amen.
Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, anyone at all, he is a new creation.
Yes.
The old has gone. So why counsel it?
That's right. Absolutely.
Oh, well, brother, I just want to take you back into your past. Let's get to all the source of these feelings of unacceptability and rejection. Yeah. Oh, I see a tormented little child. Yeah. I want you to understand that Jesus was with you.
Yeah.
He saw all the torment and he was watching over you with all the rejection. Where do people get this nonsense from? What sentimental, sloppy slush. God took one look at that tormented, rejected child and said, it'll be all right when he's died.
That's right.
Why? Because he could see the end from the beginning.
It's
all right. There's nothing to be phased about. He'll die and I'll give him a new life and that's
amen,
it.
Amen, amen. Yes, yes.
Yes.
It's good.
I'll just make sure that he hears the gospel. Not some. But the gospel. He is a new creation. The old has gone and the new has come. Look, 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 look at the next verse. All this is from God.
Come on.
It's God who's done it. Not will do it, needs to do it.
Yeah.
He has done it.
Yeah.
Look, the world can only counsel the old because it doesn't know anything about the new. So the world's forms of counseling are bound to help people to live with their inadequacy and failure and all the rest of it. Don't know any better than that. The crazy thing is that so many Christians have been deceived into thinking that's how you counsel Christians.
Yeah.
Psychiatrists will do that stuff in the world. But then a psychiatrist can't make anybody new. Can't actually heal anybody. He can only help a person to live with who they are in the old life. You understand yourself, you can live with your problems, kind of thing. Or else we'll give you some drug therapy or something to shut down the problems, make it easier to live with. I mean, that's psychiatry. You can't blame the world for that because they don't know the new life. But we know the new life. And our job is not to play at amateur psychiatry. Our job is to preach the gospel and to bring people into the new life. Hallelujah. All this is from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ. How did he reconcile us to himself? He deaded us and made us alive and made us a new creation and has given us this ministry of reconciliation. This is the ministry we have. What he has done to us, we are to do to others. Hallelujah. Not play at amateur psychiatry. And that God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ. This is the gospel for everybody in the world. There is not a lesser gospel. Hallelujah. And he committed to us the message of reconciliation. We are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making his appeal through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. That's how you take the gospel to the world. Not God loves you. Because God does not love what he sees in the world. But be reconciled to God. When people talk about the love of God, they're trying to make God acceptable to people. And that's topsy-turvy. It's people that have got to be made acceptable to God. God hasn't got to be reconciled to man. Man has got to be reconciled to God.
Come on. It's good.
So Jesus comes. He doesn't say, the time has come, the kingdom of God is at hand. God loves you and wants you to receive the kingdom. No, he says, repent and believe the good news. Turn to God. Be reconciled to God. Yield your lives to God. be saved.
Come on. Right.
Not repeat this prayer after me.
That's it.
I mean, where'd you get that stuff from? If a person cannot pray from his own heart a prayer of repentance, he is not ready to be led to the Lord.
That's right.
He is not under conviction of sin. The Holy Spirit has not done the necessary work.
Yeah.
Even if a person has never prayed before, when they're ready, they will pray.
Absolutely.
If you need to get someone to repeat the prayer after you, they are not ready. Let me tell you that. You are jumping ahead of the Holy Spirit.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
You might say, well, they don't know how to pray. They don't have to know how to pray. Their heart just has to cry out to God. That's all.
That's right. That's it. Yep.
But you cannot pray that prayer for them. You can't pray that prayer for anyone. That's where everybody stands. Alone before God. Turn back to Galatians chapter 5. Whew. It is for freedom that Christ has set us free. It's not, I need to be set free. I have been set free. So long as you say, I need to be set free, you're not believing what he's done. But as soon as you can thank God because you believe this scripture, it is for freedom. Christ has set me free. He set me free from the person I was. He set me free from my past. He set me free from all the rejection and unacceptability and all the failure. He has set me free. When he took me to the cross and into the grave and then gave me a new life, I was set free. Stand firm then. And do not let yourselves be burdened again by a yoke of slavery. Don't get back to the old way of thinking. Amen. Look at verse 13. You, my brothers, were called to be free. But do not use your freedom to indulge the flesh. That should be not sinful nature. The flesh. Why? Because you have died to the flesh. Okay. Now let's go back to Romans. Chapter 6. We're nearly finished. Verse 11. In the same way, count, reckon yourselves as dead to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus. What's the problem for most Christians? Their death has happened. It's a historic event that has already taken place. So you can't put yourself to death. You can't say, oh, I've got this and this and this and this. I've got to try to kill these things off in my life. Hello? No, reckon yourself dead. You see, when you reckon yourself dead, or that you have died, then you realize these things no longer will have a hold over me. They do not belong to the new life. They do not belong to the new creation that I am. Yes, the new creature can be tempted. Even Jesus was tempted in the wilderness. But as John says, he that is born again will not sin. He won't continue to sin. He won't just give in to temptation, because he has died to sin. And he reckons himself dead to sin. Dead when temptation comes. See, the flesh looks at temptation and says, that would be interesting. But in the spirit you say, I've died to that. No longer has any hold over me. That's why it's ridiculous to look at sin on the box or in a movie. To stir up enticement. Close your eyes, avert your eyes. Learn to paint and paint when such scenes are on. Don't look. Or turn the jolly movie off, if it's that bad. Listen, you can't play around with this stuff. Better to turn the movie off, watch Arsenal, and go to heaven. In that order. You wouldn't want to watch the Devils, the Red Devils, would you? Those in the know understand that. Mm-hmm. Therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal body so that you obey its evil desires. Do not offer the parts of your body to sin on the box or anywhere else as instruments of wickedness, but rather offer yourselves to God as those who have been brought from death to life. See, it all becomes impossible. This Christian life is impossible without reckoning yourself dead, without actually believing what Christ has done for you on the cross. You will consign yourself to a life of striving and failure until you believe this. Frustration, knowing what you should be and never attaining it. And after all, what do you have to do? Just believe that you died with him. It's not as if God has set us some monumental task that we've got to strive to achieve and attain. He says, just believe what I did on the cross. Just believe it. Say, well, how do I believe it? Well, faith is a decision. You either make the decision to believe it or not to believe it. There's nothing mystical about faith. Oh, God, I don't feel it. He said, I didn't tell you to feel it. I told you to believe it.
Sit. Come on.
Yes.
That's good.
Hallelujah. But rather offer yourselves to God as those who have been brought from death to life, and offer the parts of your body to him as instruments of righteousness. For sin shall not be your master.
Amen.
For you are not under law, but under grace. You know, every time you talk about obedience to some Christians, they say, oh, brother, I'm not under law, but under grace. But they forget the first part of the verse, which says, sin shall not be your master. You've only got one master, and his name is Jesus.
That's it.
Right.
It's good.
Sin is not your master. You do not serve sin.
Yep.
I said you do not serve sin. The scripture says give no opportunity to the devil. That means you don't even give him a little opportunity.
That's it.
You don't have the attitude, oh well, you know, it's just a little sin, not too important. He'll always forgive me and I'll get over it. Pastor Colin won't find out anyway. No, you're right. It'll just be blazed from the rooftops on the day of judgment, that's all. Unless you've repented of it, of course. In which case, there'll be no mention of it.
That's right, yeah.
It's one or t'other. Hallelujah. What then? I'm sorry, I should stop really, but I'm enjoying myself too much. What then? Shall we sin because we are not under law but under grace? By no means! Don't you know that when you offer yourself to someone to obey him as slaves, you are slaves to the one whom you obey, whether you are slaves to sin, which leads to death? Oh, wait a minute. How can sin lead to death if I've died? It leads to the second death.
Yeah.
And the second death is eternal separation from God.
That's it.
Or to obedience, which leads to righteousness. But thanks be to God that though you used to be slaves to sin, in the old life that is now dead, buried, finished with, just as you used to offer the parts of your body in slavery to impurity and to ever-increasing wickedness, so now, I've jumped here. But thanks be to God that though you used to be slaves to sin, you wholeheartedly obeyed the form of teaching that Pastor Colin gave you.
That's right. Absolutely.
Yeah, that's what it means.
Exactly
what it means. You have been set free from sin. And have become slaves to what is right. Amen? I put this in human terms because you are weak in your natural selves. Well, that natural self is so weak, it's not going to have any influence over you now. Praise God. Just as you used to offer the parts of your body in slavery to impurity and ever-increasing wickedness, so now offer them in slavery to righteousness, leading to holiness. When you were slaves to sin, you were free from the control of righteousness. What benefit did you reap at that time from the things that you are now ashamed of? Those things result in death. But now that you have been set free from sin and have become slaves to God, the benefit you reap leads to holiness, and the result is eternal life. You are justified by faith, made acceptable, made righteous in God's sight by faith. But on the day of judgment, you will be rewarded for your works. Justified by faith, rewarded for your works. Every man will be rewarded according to what he has done, said Jesus. So, the wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord.
Hallelujah.
Just very, very, very quickly, we've just got to look at this once more. Ephesians chapter 1, quick. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. Where are we living? In Christ. How has God blessed us? With every spiritual blessing in heavenly realms. For he chose us in him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight. This new creation is holy and blameless in his sight. In love, he predestined us to be adopted as his sons through Jesus Christ in accordance with his pleasure and will. He actually wanted you to be saved. He actually chose you. Right. To the praise of his glorious grace, which he has freely given us in the one he loves. Yep. Look, you've got to get hold of this. Christ is the only one that God can really love, because Christ is the only perfect one, and God can only love perfection. But he loves all those who are in Christ and who are perfected in him and made holy and whole and righteous in him.
Yes.
So we have become the objects of his love because we are in him.
Yes.
He loved the world. He loved sinful humanity in giving his life. But he loves those who are in Christ.
Yes.
Are we getting it? Are we getting it? In the one he loves. We have been brought out of darkness into light.
Come on.
Out of nowhere into him.
Come on.
Out of condemnation into acceptance.
Amen.
Out of judgment into fulfillment.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins in accordance with the riches of God's grace that he lavished on us with all wisdom and understanding. And he has made known to us the mystery of his will according to his good pleasure, which he purposed in Christ to be put into effect when the times will have reached their fulfillment, to bring all things in heaven and on earth together under one head, even Christ. But you are the prophetic forerunning of that. You are the first fruits. You are now living under the headship of Christ. So in him, verse 11, we were also chosen, having been predestined according to the plan of him who works out everything in conformity with the purpose of his will, in order that we who were the first to hope in Christ might be for the praise of his glory. And you also were included in Christ when you heard the word of truth. Yes. Not some slushy, sentimental, Jesus loves you business.
That's right.
But when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, having believed, you were marked in him with the seal, the promised Holy Spirit. The seal, you know, is a, like the seal that they had on the signet ring. Boom. Approved by me. Mine!
Yes.
That's what the Holy Spirit signifies. The promised Holy Spirit, who is a deposit guaranteeing our inheritance until the redemption of those who are God's possession to the praise of his glory. I mean, how can you stop? You know, for this reason, ever since I heard, I mean, it's all so wonderful.
Amen.
Yes, yes.
And we have this wonderful privilege here of loving one another and sharing this life of the new creation with one another and then reaching out into the world with that life.
Amen.
To show his love, not talk about it, but show his love.
Yes.
That's right.
Praise God. Well, I've been blessed this morning.
Yes.
Because there is only one thing that is better than hearing the essence of the gospel that you've heard this morning, and that is speaking it. So whoever speaks this stuff always gets more blessed than anybody else. So if you want to be more blessed, go and speak it to others. Let's all stand. Hallelujah. Come on, we can make a real noise here, can't we?